The following is a synopsis of the Sicha, of the talk of the Rebbe, of Shabbos Parsha Shmini, in which we blessed the new month and was Erev of the Rosh Chodesh of the new month of Iyar, of the year Hei Tinase 5751, which corresponds to the secular calendar year of 1991. In this talk, the Rebbe refers to a phenomenon that occurred that year, as well as in other years, including the year that this is being taped, and that is the year of 5,778, where we read the Parsha of Shmini a total of 8 times, the 8th time being the Shabbos. And the reason for that is because Pesach occurs on a Shabbos, the first day, in which case the weekly Torah portion is pushed off to the next Shabbos. Now, the next Shabbos outside of Israel was also on the holiday of Pesach, the last day of Pesach, so it was pushed off for another week. So we read the Torah, at least the beginning of it, the Shabbos before the Parsha is read in its entirety. That's Shabbos to Mincha. Then we read it Monday and Thursday. Then again Shabbos to Mincha. Then again Shabbos to Mincha. Then again Monday and Thursday. And then again the whole Parsha. So we have read it 8 times. And there's a famous saying amongst Polish Hasidim, Shmini, Shmona, Shmena. This is a play on words. We take the word Shmini, which is the name of the Parsha, the 8th day, and Shmona, which sounds like Shmini, means 8. When we read the Parsha of Shmini, Shmona times, 8 times, then the year will be a Shmena. Shmena comes from the word fat. It'll be a full, satisfying, enjoyable year. And the Rebbe then says that this saying is appropriate especially for this year in which the Sicha was said, because this was the year of Tav Nun Shin Aleph, Tinase, which is an acronym for the words Haya Tehei Shnas Arenu Nuflois. This will be a year in which I will show them great wonders. It's a year that distinguishes itself, that it is fat, it's satiated with miracles and wonders, which are, among other things, also a preparation for the miracles of the complete redemption, concerning which the prophet says that it kimeit seischem eretz Mitzrayim, just like in the days that you left Egypt in the past, arenu neflois, I will show them wonders in the future. Now this point is underscored in the month of Nisan, because Nisan comes from the word nes, and because it has 2 nuns in it, it refers to not just miracles, nes is a miracle, but nisei nisim, miracles of miracles. Now this Shabbos has an added distinction in 3 ways. Number 1, it's the first Shabbos after Pesach, in which we begin reciting Pirkei Avos, Ethics of the Fathers, which begin with the words, Moshe Kibol Torah Mesinai, Moses received the Torah at Mount Sinai. Number 2, what makes the Shabbos unique is that it's the last Shabbos of the month of Nisan, and it's Erev Rosh Chodesh of Iyar. Number 3, this Shabbos concludes 2 full weeks of the counting of the Omer. One of the qualities and distinctions of this Shabbos of this year in particular is that this year we counted the Omer starting with the first day of the week and concluding each week on Shabbos. So that means that the counting of the Omer manifests itself in a very exalted way. As the Medrash says, when are they really tamimos, complete, perfect? When Pesach comes on a Shabbos and we start counting Saturday night, Mitzvah Shabbos, then all the weeks are complete, because then we have complete weeks, beginning with the first day of the week and ending with Shabbos, the last day of the week. And since all of this coincides with one Shabbos, number 1, it's the reading of the Shmini for the 8th time. Number 2, it's Erev, the eve of Rosh Chodesh. Number 3, it's the end of 2 full weeks of counting of the Omer. Number 4, it's the beginning of the study of Pirkei Avos, Ethics of the Fathers. From all this, we have to conclude that there's a connection between all these different aspects of the Shabbos, because everything that happens, happens by divine providence. So if we have several events that are coinciding, they must have a connection to one another. It's not just haphazard. And it's our responsibility to find the connection between them and the connection to this year, the year in which this talk was said, the year in which God says, I will show them wonders, the wonders of the Geula. So the Rebbe explains all this by first explaining the saying that he mentioned before, Shmini, Shmona, Shmena, that when you read Shmini 8 times, it'll be a fat year. Because this saying needs clarification. When we read the Torah portion of Shmini, it's self-understood that by reading the portion, it has an effect on the entire year. Because Torah is a book of instruction and guidance for all times. Now, since Shmini also comes from the root word which means shuman, fat, that tells us that when we read Parsha Shmini, we make the entire year fat, a wholesome, complete, and satisfying year. So if that's the case, why do we have to read it 8 times to get to the idea of Shemena, fat, when even reading it once has that effect? True, when you read it 8 times, it underscores that this is a year of Shemena, a year of fatness, but that only stresses something that is already there. There's nothing novel about it, it seems, at first glance, the Rebbe says. In order to understand this well, we have to first preface a better understanding of the number 8. In the Parsha, we start off by saying, Vayihi bayom hashmini, it came to pass on the 8th day. That's the day that God began to dwell within the Mishkan, within the portable sanctuary in the desert. What brought that about? Among other reasons, it's the day itself that made that happen, the 8th day. Because the world that we live in is connected to the number 7. Because God created the universe in 7 days. 7 symbolizes the godly light and energy that is related to the world. When you use the number 8, that symbolizes the light, the divine light that transcends the parameters of the world. That's why on the 8th day of the initiation of the Mishkan, the Shechina, the divine presence, rested in the Mishkan. And all the days that passed, the preceding days, they worked very hard, and they were able to introduce the godly energy, the godly light that is related to the world, but they couldn't get to the Shechina itself, the divine presence. And the 8th day, which symbolizes the light that is higher than the world, higher than the obstructive nature of the world, they were able to get Hashem himself, the Shechina itself, was able to dwell in their handiwork, in the Mishkan. That's why the number 8 is connected to Shuman, to fat, because that word implies, in its full sense, the increased measure of light that is beyond the parameters of the world. But the primary objective of all this is that this transcendent light that is higher than the world, Shmini, should permeate the world. It's not enough that it remains aloof and above. We have to connect it. That energy that is higher than the world, that is infinite, it has no boundaries, that has to be synthesized with the limits and parameters of the world so that the recipients should be able to internalize that light and to absorb it, something that is beyond him, to absorb it and internalize it. And this was the objective of the Beis HaMikdash, and it will be fully manifested in the third Beis HaMikdash, to bring the Shechina that is above the world into the Mishkan, which is limited. It had its own boundaries, and through the Mishkan, it would channel this light to the entire world. Where did we see this phenomenon occurring? We saw that specifically with the Arein, the Ark that was in the Mishkan. The Ark is a limited object. It had to be 2.5 cubits by 1.5 cubits, so it had very specific dimensions, but yet it occupied no space. There were no limits to it. If you measured it from either side, it measured the same as if you had measured it without the Ark. The Ark did not occupy space, even though it was within the parameters of space. The same thing is true in translating this in our own service to God. One could serve God in a very limited way, in a very condensed, contracted way. In that sense, you're able to internalize and absorb the spiritual energy that is generated by your service. But then there's a way of serving God that goes beyond any limits, any boundaries. And the complete, the most perfect way of serving God is to serve God beyond one's boundaries, but also to introduce it within oneself so it becomes absorbed within and internalized within. So that way, you're able to fuse together these two qualities, the quality of the transcendent light, but also it has the quality of a limited light that it could be absorbed. That's the ultimate objective. And that's why to perform this great phenomenal function, the synthesis, you have to read the Parsha Shmini 8 times. Shmini tells you that, yes, I've gone through the 7 levels that preceded it, and only because I went through 7 am I able to reach to the 8th level. But after I get to the 8th level, it's separate and distinct from the 7 that preceded it. The 8th day was a separate day. It had its own status as compared to the 7 days that preceded it. But when you say Shmona, 8, instead of saying the 8th day, 8th day means it's after the 7 days, so it stands by itself. When you read it 8 times, the number 8 comprises all of the 8, including the 7 that preceded it. They're all included in the number 8. So 8 takes all the 8 days and elevates them to the level of 8. In order to synthesize the transcendent aspect of God that is higher than this world, you have to do it and bring it into this world. You first have to have a parallel synthesis in the godly energy that is above the world. So the word Shmini underscores how the Bli Gvul, the infinite, unlimited aspect of God, permeates the level that is within the boundaries of the system of the world. And in all of the details, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, all of them are permeated with this infinite light. So that way, you have not just the 8th level standing by itself, but the 8th level influencing all of the 7 preceding levels. So in the years in which we read Parsha Shmini once, or even 3 times, this Shmini aspect that is above the world doesn't fully absorb itself, doesn't fully permeate the world. It remains separate and distinct from the world. Only when we read Shmini one time after another, in the course of 8 times, then that permeates all 8 aspects. And then you have a complete and full synthesis of the transcendent light that is above the world with the world itself. And only when the Bli Gvul, the unlimitedness of God, permeates the boundaries, then you really have a truly fat, complete, satisfying here, because that's the nature of fat, of oil, that it permeates everything. Another point, in order to reach this sublime level of Shmini, it means the level of godliness that transcends the world, you first have to work going through the 7 levels within the parameters of the world itself, because only then could you be capable of absorbing and to be prepared for the revelation of something that is infinite, of Shmini. As we said before, that you can't get to the number 8 without first having 7 that preceding it, that precedes it. From this we can understand that the boundaries of the world in their root is even higher than the infinite, because only through it could you reach this level that is infinite. The ark was unique, as we said before, that it didn't occupy any space. It was Bli Gvul, it had no limits, but it can only become holy only after they built it according to specifications. It was done precisely the way God commanded them, with the precise dimensions of 2.5 by 1.5. Another example would be the mitzvah of Maaser, of tithing. In order to tithe your produce and give it to a Levi, you have to first count 9, and then the 10th one goes to the Levi. Especially when you talk about the tithing of animals, where part of the commandment is to count 9. It's part of the mitzvah itself to do the counting. And the 10th one is designated as being holy for Hashem. And only by us, simple mortals, count, which indicates something that is counted and limited, only then could you reach this phenomenal, extraordinary level of the 10th, which is holy for God, which is completely beyond us. The same thing is true with the 8th day of the initiation of the Mishkan. You only had the ability to reach that day after the 7 preceding days. And this year, you see this even more vividly. In order to get to Shmini Shmona, that you read the Parsha of Shmini 8 times, you have to literally read the Parsha of Shmini one time after another. You can't get to the 8th without reading it 7 times before. And each time you read it, it has its own quality. The first time you read it is the first time, it's the beginning, which has its own distinction of something that is new. The second time, whenever you have something double, it means double strength, double power, it's reinforced. When you read something 3 times, it creates a chazaka, an established pattern. The fourth time corresponds to the 4 legs of a chair, and a table, and of the chariot, divine chariot, and that strengthens the table when you have 4 legs as opposed to a 3-legged table. The 5th time is an allusion to the very high level that allows you to reach the hidden lights, as it says that the story of Joseph and Pharaoh, that everything was taxed in a way that a 5th was given to Paro. Now the word Paro comes from a root that means exposed, that you're reaching a level where that which is beyond the world, that divine light, is exposed. And the 6th time symbolizes the perfection of this world, which was created in 6 days. The 7th time symbolizes also the perfection that is instilled by Shabbos itself. And the 8th time represents that which is Belig Vul, unlimited, that is completely beyond the world. And from the 8th you come to the level, the 9th, which is Chazaka 3 times. And from there you come to the 10th, which is holy, which is connected to the complete redemption, the imminent redemption that will come without any interruption. Now, the power to unify the Shekhinah in the world, the Shmini, comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, because he also had these 2 characteristics of Bligvul. He's unlimited, but he's limited as well. He's the one who unifies and brings God and the Jewish people together, and that's why his prayer was able to affect the dwelling of the Shekhinah in the Mishkan and through the Mishkan to the whole world. If we pay attention to this, we see this pattern appearing also in Pirkei Avos that we're going to read this Shabbos, where it says, Moshe received the Torah from Sinai and gave it over to Joshua. Moshe received the Torah from God himself, and through the Torah, the tablets that were put in the Mishkan, that is what brought about the dwelling of the Shekhinah, the dwelling of God in the Mishkan. As it says, Araisa, Kuchibrichu, Kulachat, Torah and God are all one. So when the Torah is in the Mishkan, then God himself is in the Mishkan. So by Moshe giving over the Torah to every Jew has the power to introduce godliness, even the transcendent aspect of godliness, in the world. This powerful, unique quality of Moshe is only something that he was able to attain because Kibbutz Torah Misinai, he received the Torah from Sinai. What does that mean? Sinai was the lowest of the mountains because it had that distinction of feeling its own lowliness, its humility. That's why it was the one mountain upon which God gave the Torah. Moshe took his cue, so to speak, from that mountain. And he was totally nullified, and he ran away from any place and any situation that would give him any type of ego. As it says, Moshe was exceedingly humble. And because of his nullification, his self-abnegation to God, he had the power to receive the Torah in the proper way, the appropriate way, and through that, to be able to transmit the Torah to the Jewish people. If we reflect on this, we will see that this unification of that which is infinite within the finite is even hinted in the name of Moshe. Moshe is an acronym for the words Moshe, Shammai, and Hillel, the 2 sages that would argue with each other, famous Talmudic sages. And we know that Shammai's approach was usually to be stringent. He was the attribute of Gvura, of severity, of judgment, tzimtzum, contraction, limitation, finitude. Hillel, on the other hand, was more likely to be lenient. That was the attribute of chesed, of kindness and revelation. That symbolizes something that has no limits. You're not constricting, you're not restricting. Moshe unified the 2. He was able to unify Gvul, which is symbolized by Shammai, and Bligvul, the unlimitedness, which is symbolized by Hillel. That's the attribute of Teferis, of beauty, which is the attribute of synthesis and harmony. Now, the power to reach this level that Moshe himself achieved, that was able to unify these two aspects, is because Moshe's very name was based on the fact that he was drawn from the water. Water symbolizes that which is concealed. That's Gevura, because water covers up everything in it. Drawn out of the water, that term means to reveal. That's chesed, that's kindness. And it's only through that water Moshe was able to reach this level, that through this finitude, this concealment, he was able to reach the level of Bligvul, of infinite revelation. And since Moshe was ultimately the egoless person, totally nullified, he is able to unify both Bligvul and Gvul. Because when you are in a mode of your own ego is being expressed, you can only be in one mode. You can't be in two. You can't unify two opposites. With his Bittul, with his nullification, he was able to unify the two, the Bligvul and the Gvul, and to bring the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, down here in this world. And this trait Moshe instilled within every Jewish person. That's why when they saw the Shekhinah dwelling in the Mishkan, what did the people do? Naflu al pneim, they fell on their faces, they were completely nullified. And from there it was extended and transmitted to all future generations. In simple words, the Rebbe says, Moshe gave the power to every Jew to receive the Torah and to be unified in a phenomenal way with God, who is the giver of the Torah. And this will reach the complete power of unity in the imminent Geula, the imminent redemption. Now this thought of unifying that which is infinite with that which is finite is also connected with the counting of the Omer, that we're counting this Shabbos, which is two whole weeks. In the counting of the Omer, we're counting 7 weeks corresponding to the 7 emotional attributes of the soul. Those are the ones that are mentioned in Kabbalah: Chesed, Gevura, Teferis, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. Now the first week, we start with Chesed within Chesed, unmitigated chesed, and the last one is malchus shebechesed, and the second week we start with chesed of gevura, until we reach malchus of gevura, and so do we continue that pattern for all 7 weeks. So this Shabbos, in which we completed the attributes that are connected to chesed, which is infinite, that's the first week, and we also completed the second week, which is connected to gevura, which is finitude, this gives us the power, the complete power, to synthesize Chesed and Gvura, and to reach their source above, where there is this unification of that which is infinite and that which is finite. More specifically, this Sefira that we're going to count, this Shabbos, is Malchus Shebegvura. What does that symbolize? That symbolizes Malchus, God's sovereignty, that will manifest itself in the complete redemption, where it says God will reign forever and ever, Hashem Yimloch L'Olam Vod. So that Malchus, that sovereignty of God that will prevail, we reach through Tzimtzum, through Gevura. Why? Because only through the finite approach in our service to God can we finally reach the infinite, which is associated with Geula, with redemption. And only then will God's sovereignty be manifested in the time of redemption, including also the time of Tchias HaMesim, which is going to be a time where there will be much more powerful energy. The word Gevura doesn't just mean strictness and limit, it also means more powerful energy. As we say in our davening, when we ask God, when we praise God for Tchias HaMesim, we say, Ata Gibor L'Olam Hashem, B'chayim Mesim Ata, you are very powerful, you're mighty. And it's in the second blessing, which corresponds to the attribute of Gevura. So Gevura here means more powerful energy. So this Shabbos is when this quality of Malchus, which is Geula, God's sovereignty prevailing, that comes in a manner of Gevura, and even if we take the word Gevura very simply, it's in the parameters of Golus, of concealment, that is what creates the Geula by introducing the Aleph, which stands for the Master of the World, Alufa Shel Olam, bringing God's infinite light in Gola into exile itself. Only then will we have the eternal Geula, and powerful one, after which there will be no more exile. God will reign la'olam vad, forever and ever. Now this thought that Geula comes through Tzimtzum, through contraction, is connected to the fact that this Shabbos occurs Erev Rosh Chodesh. By the way, the Rebbe says that whenever we read Parsha Shmini 8 times, we count 2 weeks, that Shabbos will always be Erev Rosh Chodesh. What is Rosh Chodesh? To understand the dynamic of Rosh Chodesh, we have to look at the Haftorah, the prophetic reading of Erev Rosh Chodesh that we read on Shabbos, in which the story is told how Yonasan, King David's very close friend, asked David that he should be missing, he should be absent from King Saul's table. And King Saul will ask, where is he? So that way, as it says in the beginning of the Torah, you will be remembered because you will be absent. What does that story tell you? It expresses the idea that only when a person is lacking and he doesn't find a place for himself, people remember him and they ask, where is he? Only through the absence and the lack is there memory. And that's what Rosh Chodesh is. After the moon conceals itself and there's no moon visible, that's when the moon is born anew, and that's when it starts to grow. That's exactly the idea of Malchus Shebegvura. Only through Gvura, Tzimtzum and Helam, concealment, that's what gives us the revelation of Malchus Beis David, of the kingdom of King of the House of David, which will be complete in the time of the true and complete redemption. The Geula is also connected to the expression Nifkadata, you will be remembered. Because what was the code that Jacob gave over to his children to know that they're ready to be redeemed? The word was Pakait Pakadati, as from I will remember you. And it says, just like the days in which we left Egypt, God will show us wonders in the future. That's the same idea, that Geula is connected to this absence, to this Gevura. Now we can understand the connection of all of the above to the time of the true and complete redemption that has to come immediately, especially this year, the Rebbe said, the year in which I will show them wonders, and especially now when we're coming to the end of the month of Nisan. Even though we're still part of and we're still situated in the concealment of Golos, and we're not sitting at the table of the King of Supreme King of Kings, the Holy One, blessed be He, in the Beis HaMikdash, we should not become despondent. On the contrary, that should cause us to rejoice, because the fact that there is absence, that is what is going to cause that God will remember us and redeem us with a complete redemption. It's precisely because the moon is diminished that the rebirth of the moon follows. And since the Jewish people are compared to the moon, and they will be, as it says in the blessing that we say every month, they will be renewed just like the moon. So we follow the same pattern, that after the absence comes the remembrance. Moreover, the Rebbe says, through our efforts now, we actually bring the Geula, because precisely when we act within the concealment and within the limitations of Golus, which is Gevura, in that lies the strength to bring the Geula, which is Malchus, sovereignty. As it says, whoever observes the Torah in the state of poverty, someone who is lacking whatever it is that they need, they're within certain confinement, will in the end observe it in a state of wealth with the complete redemption. And particularly now, we almost have no limitations imposed on us by the nations of the world. And we can fulfill mitzvahs in a state of menucha, of peace, and harchava, with expansion. And in addition to that, the Geula will also have the advantages that we have in Golus, in exile, which is the unification of Bli Gvul, the infinite powers, with Gvul, with that which is finite. From this, we can derive a phenomenal lesson that applies to each and every one of us. A Jew could argue, I'm limited, and the whole world around me limits me. And most of the time I'm preoccupied in mundane activities such as eating, drinking, sleeping. Moreover, we're in Golus, we're in exile, and there are so many things that disturb us in our service to Hashem. So how will I have the strength to bring the geula when I don't have the strength to even perform small and minor forms of work? How am I going to bring something that is so immense like the geula? The answer to this, the Rebbe says, precisely through the limited service in Golos lie the extraordinary powers to bring the geula. And precisely through our efforts in Golos, we will bring Mashiach. And if the geula didn't come yet, our generation will bring it, as the Rambam writes, that it could be one mitzvah. One mitzvah has the power for a Jew to bring the geula, to tip the scales and bring the redemption. And if they're asking us to do all this, that's a sign that we could do it, and we can do it with perfection. Besides the fact that every Jew has a chelik alikai, part of God, he has incredible powers to such an extent that Chassidus explains that every Jew has the power to become sanctified just like God himself. So we certainly have the power to bring the geula. In addition to all the powers that a Jew has, that every Jew has, there are additional powers and energy that we have this year to bring the geula, because this is a special year, the year of Arenu Niflaos, I will show them wonders. That's the acronym for the name of the year, Tav Shin Nun Aleph. It should be a year of Niflaos Arenu, wonders I will show them. Since God is the one who shows the wonders, he will also show us miracles that are completely beyond the realm of nature. In addition, miracles that are cloaked in the natural order, including this incredible miracle that the world is being recreated every instant, as is well known. And also the extraordinary power that you have in the finite nature. And that's why through it, you can bring the geula. The truth is, in this year, we saw miracles and wonders in the past month of Adar, in the Gulf War. And we saw it in the month of Nisan, when Saddam was completely subdued. And also in the month of Iyar. And it, particularly in these months, the month of Adar symbolizes miracles that are cloaked in nature, just like Purim. And then we have special health that applies to the Jewish people. It says the month of Adar, Bari Mazli, its mazel is healthy. So there's a certain degree of health that we enjoy. The month of Nisan symbolizes revealed miracles that are above nature, just like the Exodus from Egypt. The month of Iyar symbolizes the unification of that which is above nature within nature, because Iyar is an acronym, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Rachel. These are the four legs of the divine chariot. And the chariot is a very high level of godliness. And that is all contained within nature, because Iyar is also an acronym for the words Ani Hashem Rofecha, I am God your healer, which symbolizes natural healing that comes from God, of course, but it permeates nature. Wonders within nature and above nature. And this Shabbos is also the source of special power to bring the geula, this Shabbos in particular, because this Shabbos we count the day called Malchus Shebegvura, as we said before. Malchus, sovereignty, within the attribute of Gevura, of God's judgment, which we said before symbolizes the revelation of Mashiach precisely within the parameters of Golos. Malchus is Mashiach, and Gevura is Golos. And also the fact that we are reading Shmini 8 times, about which it says Shmini, Shmona, Shmena, that when you read it 8 times, it is a fat year. That's especially connected to Mashiach, because the harp in the days of the Mashiach, we're told, will be of 8 strands, as opposed to the harp in the Beis HaMikdash, which only had 7. The number 8, as we said before, symbolizes that which is above the nature, above the world, that is introduced within the parameters of the world. Once we have the level of Shmini, we then go to the level of Chi, 9 and 10, which are associated with Geula as well. And then we will have the harp of 10 strands, which alludes to a much higher level than that of 8. This is underscored and exemplified by virtue of the fact that this is Beis Iyar. Beis Iyar is soon coming, and that is the birthday of the Rebbe Maharash, who was the 6th leader of Chabad. 6 symbolizes double chazaka, double times 3, which establishes a pattern. And from him we come to the 7th and the 8th leader, until our generation, which is the 9th generation, that will come without any interruption to the complete redemption. We're also acquiring additional powers from the leader of our generation, especially after we read in 770 Parsha Shmini for the 8th time. That gives strength to the whole world, to the most remote corner of the world. And that gives the power for him to gather all of the Jewish people together. And this is especially true after we saw the sample of the ingathering of the exiles, when you see how the Jews are leaving Russia and going to Eretz Yisrael without any limitations. In simple words, every Jew, men, women, children, have to increase in their Torah and mitzvahs with excellence and beauty to bring a righteous Mashiach in actuality. One cannot rely on anyone else, and no one should give this responsibility to anyone else, pass it on to someone else. Every individual has to do his own work. And if this is what is being demanded of him, that is the sign that he has the powers to do it. And we have to particularly put emphasis on saying and learning Pirkei Avos in the Shabbosos, the Sabbaths of the summer, and to influence others to do the same. In general, we should disseminate Torah, Judaism, and Pnimius Torah, the inner dimension of Torah, in every place in the world. That in particular will bring the Geula. And to do this with a spirit of tzifia, of longing, anticipation for the Geula, as we say in our davening, Etzemach David Avdecha Meheres Atzmiach, that we're asking God to speedily bring the blossoming of King David, of Mashiach. The most essential thing is Ha'ikar, the Rebbe says, that all these resolutions should already bring about the intended effects. They should bring a righteous Mashiach, take it from a Yad Mamish, immediately and imminently. A summary of the synopsis. When we read Parsha Shmini 8 times, it says, Shmini, Shmeina, Shmeina. That means it's going to be a fat year. This is even higher than a year in which we read Shmini itself, without the 8 times, even though it's also a fat year because we're reading Shmini. But the fact that we're reading it 8 times, because that brings something that is novel. Because Shmini, which represents that which is higher than nature, it's a divine power that is detached from this world, just like the 8th day is detached from the 7 preceding days. But when you have it 8 times, it means it permeates in the number 8. 8 represents the combination, the consolidation of all 8 days together in one. So that's what gives the year this fatness, because then we've unified the infinite with the finite. And only then does the year, which is finite, become shmeina, become fat. In other words, satiated with the infinite power of miracles and wonders. Another point the Rebbe made, there's something special about reading Shmini 8 times that brings this fatness, because that underscores the idea that in order to reach the levels of godliness that are above the world, Shmini, you have to start working within the parameters of the world. Because when you have Shmona, when you have the number 8, you also have the 7 attributes that represent the divine energy that is instrumental in the creation of the world in 7 days. So in the number 8, you have the 7 as well. And only through the limitations within which we work can we reach the infinite light that transcends the world. As we saw the Aron, the Ark and the Beis HaMikdash, which did not occupy any space, it only could have that distinction after it was clearly contained within the measurements that the Torah designates for it. Through the measurements, through the finite aspect of it, you're able to reach the infinite. And all this We can see in Pirkei Avos, where we say in the very beginning, Moshe received the Torah from Sinai. The word Moshe, as the Rebbe explained at great length, that the word Moshe is a combination of Moshe, Shammai, and Hillel. Also in the counting of the Omer, which of this Shabbos, we finished 2 weeks of the Omer, Malchus of Gevura. That means that precisely through the efforts in this world, we're able to reach that which is infinite and to unify the infinite with nature. And that's the connection to Geula, because only through our work in Golus now, and within the limitations that we have the power to bring the Geula, especially that this is the power that every Jew has, because he has a neshama, which is a part of God, and he has the command from the Creator. It's also indicated in the name of the year that is connected to miracles, and we're coming from the shul of the Rebbe, the leader of our generation, 770, that has the influence over the whole world. And the Rebbe concluded the practical lesson that we learn from all this, that we have to increase in Torah, the revealed part, the inner part of Torah, and doing mitzvahs with excellence and beauty. Number two, in particular, we should say and learn Pirkei Avos and the Shabbosos and the Sabbaths of the summer, and to influence others to do the same. And number three, to all do this in a spirit of tzipia, of yearning and longing, very powerful anticipation for the redemption. Following is an excerpt from the book Psuras HaGeula, The Announcement of the Redemption, which highlights the message that the Rebbe gave relating specifically to the events of that period and its connection to Geula, to redemption. And the Rebbe says, the principal accomplishment of this year, which the Jewish people have designated and named, it will be a year of miracles, I will show them. What is the principal accomplishment? It is a year distinguished for being fat and filled with wonders and miracles from God, visible to everyone. This accomplishment also serves as a preparation for the wonders and miracles of the complete and true redemption coming imminently. As in the days of your going forth from the land of Egypt, I will show you miracles, as mentioned and emphasized many times during the year. This Shabbos is the Sefira, the counting of Malchus Shebegvura, sovereignty within Gevura, a revelation of King Mashiach within the severity of exile, and also Shabbos Parsha Shmini, which is particularly connected with our righteous Mashiach, since the kinnor, the harp of the days of Mashiach, is made of 8 strings. This leads directly to 9 and then 10, which is holy, that is, the perfection of 10 achieved in the true and complete redemption, when we'll have a 10-stringed kinnor harp, as opposed to the 8th-string kinnor that will be there in the beginning of the Messianic Age. The connection should be further emphasized, since the birthday of the Rebbe Maharash occurs right at the beginning of the month of Iyar, on the 2nd of Iyar. It is well known that his directive and inspiration was Milchatchila Aribber, which means from the start, go above, transcend. The Rebbe Maharash was the 6th generation from the Baal Shem Tov, and 6 is double the force of 3, which represents a well-grounded and established idea. And that leads us to the 7th generation and 8th generation, until this generation, the 9th one, which is a tripled chazakah, presumption, which becomes the immediate preparation, without any interruption at all, for the 10th generation, which is holy in the true and complete redemption. In all of this, everyone receives further strength from the extension of Moshe in our generation. My sainted father-in-law, the Rebbe, the leader of our generation, particularly since today we read in his synagogue. And from this house of prayer, the strength will also reach those outside this house, till the whole world, including the farthest corner, physically and spiritually, of the world, they will also be reached. There will then be a fulfillment of the verse, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, together with the gathered, dispersed of Israel. It says, I will gather others to him, to Israel, besides those of him that are gathered. A reflection of this has been fulfilled in these times, the year of miracles and the year of I will show them wonders. namely the gathering of the dispersed of Israel from that country, without limitations, not as it was previously, when in order to leave one needed a special connection and a special request, and their coming to the land of Israel, also without limitations, as opposed to the way it was previously. This is one of the revelations beyond measure or limit during the end of the time of exile. And the Rebbe then says, simply put, all Jews, men, women, and even children, have the responsibility to increase their efforts to bring a righteous Mashiach an actual reality. Therefore, it is obvious that there's no place for relying on others or imposing the work on someone else instead of doing it oneself. But this is the task that is given to every man and woman. Everyone must themselves do their job to serve my Maker, for the sake of which I was created. And certainly one has the ability, since, as it says, I do not ask except according to their ability. What this duty consists of is also simple, to increase one's Torah and mitzvahs. This means learning both the open aspects of the Torah and the inner aspects of the Torah, performing mitzvahs with distinction. And all of this should be done with an intense anticipation and desire for the redemption. As it says, I anxiously await his coming every day. As we say every day in the prayers, may our eyes behold your return to Zion in mercy. And on weekdays we add, speedily cause the Zion of David your servant to flourish. This has been mentioned many times.